Good afternoon. Good evening. Good morning, Global Tribe of Disruptors. Disrupting your automatics. This is Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. Today's show is episode 122. Hey now.
Woohoo.
And we're talking men and intimacy. Hey now again. You can catch all previous 121 episodes of Dudes of Disruption on Podomatic and on iTunes. You are listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. And in studio, we have Sam Leibowitz, the Conscious Consultant.
Woohoo, how's it going, dudes?
There he is. I'm Coach Nick, by the way. And I'm an author. I'm a speaker. I'm a facilitator around transformational and leadership topics. And my favorite, I'm a committed disruptor. Why we're here is to awaken humanity so that everybody gets to leave their mark. And I mean everybody. I deliver transformation and disruption in the areas of leadership development, corporate culture and engagement, team dynamics and development, and personal development. And one of my favorite things that I get to do every couple of weeks and every month is I run a Dudes of Disruption men's group here in New York City. If you're interested in being part of a community of men who are inspired to live life purposefully and transform the world, then email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. As I mentioned, today's show, episode 122, is Men and Intimacy. What is intimacy to you? Wink, wink. Most of us have a deep craving to be truly known by someone in our lives, like really known, like really, really seen. I have a client, a friend who's a past client whose tagline is "Be seen." People have a deep craving to be seen and to build a deep, committed, rich relationship based on honesty, trust, respect, appreciation, connectedness, togetherness, collaboration. But the sexes do often define intimacy differently. So let's explore in this episode what we mean by intimacy and how do men often react to intimacy. So we start every show first with a quote or a sentiment to help set a context. So this one, this quote, I think Sam really helps to set a context for our show, which is, there's nothing more intimate in life than simply being understood and understanding someone else.
Ooh, that's deep.
There's nothing more intimate in life than simply being understood and understanding somebody else. Sam, how do you feel about that sentiment and its relationship to intimacy? Because, by the way, if you notice, it didn't say anything about sex.
Right.
It didn't say anything about being physical with somebody.
Yeah, yeah. Intimacy actually has very little to do with being physical with somebody. It's more about, being open, being honest, being vulnerable. There's nothing more intimate than being vulnerable with somebody.
Yes. And that is the disruption here. And we're immediately jumping into the disruption, which is, normally when we talk about intimacy, especially men and intimacy and men and their relationship to intimacy, we immediately go to sex or we go to men satisfying a woman's need.
Right.
And what we're actually talking about, like the sentiment I just read, is something very, very different. Is that intimacy can be everything from feeling heard, feeling understood, feeling desired, being greeted or acknowledged, even in a meeting, right? You walk into a conference room full of people. It's so awesome when someone actually picks their head up from their laptop or their phone and actually makes eye contact and smiles and acknowledges your presence. I mean, intimacy is acknowledging your presence. That's how simple intimacy can be. Intimacy can be just the acknowledgement of another human being. Intimacy can also be feeling heard. I mean, how many of us walk around life, walk around our office, are in meetings, we're on project teams, and we're never heard.
Right. Or acknowledged.
Or acknowledged. Right? We're not recognized. We're not appreciated. Intimacy goes well beyond sex and physical. I mean, sure, it includes that. or it can include that. What we're talking about here is men and intimacy, and specifically intimacy around your ability to understand, to appreciate, to notice, to acknowledge, to ask for support, or to ask others if they need support because you notice they might need support because they might look tired or exhausted or they're taking on too much, right? Intimacy can be your ability to trust others or to give them permission to trust you.
And actually, intimacy needs to be present for most women before you do anything physical or sexual.
Yes.
That intimacy is sort of the state between two people.
Yes.
As opposed to what you're physically doing. And if the intimacy isn't in place first, most women will not move forward. Yes. On any kind of level.
Yep, exactly. I want to share an example. So one exercise that we did in the Due to Disruption Men's Group, again, if you want more information about the Due to Disruption Men's Group here in New York, email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. An exercise that we did, Sam, was I had men stand a couple of inches away from each other, facing each other and making eye contact, which is actually very unique for men. And I did it in two parts. I did it at first for a minute. And what I asked men to do, what I asked each of them to do was to try to find a way to eliminate themselves from the equation, to eliminate their ego. Right? You're laughing, right?
I'm laughing. I'll tell you why afterwards. Okay.
So what I asked them to do is I wanted them to get into the other person's world. I wanted them to find a way to get over to the other side. Very much like someone does. Think about this. We've all had this experience, either done to us or we've done it to someone else, where you go to the coffee shop and the person behind the counter, you can tell, is having a rough morning or a rough day. And you give them that look.
You don't
say anything. You just give them the look. Or there's a facial expression, or there's a smile that's on your face, or there's something that you do with your body that you gesture. Mm-hmm. And what you're doing there is you put yourself in the other person's world. You put yourself over there. You've actually eliminated yourself from the equation. You actually don't matter, although you actually are doing everything to have the other person have the experience of feeling gotten or feeling understood or feeling noticed. Because again, like the quote that I shared earlier, I think what people want most is to be known and to be understood.
Right.
And so we did this exercise in our men's group where men were a couple of inches away from each other, and they looked into each other's eyes without speaking. And we did it twice. The first time I only did it for a minute. I think it felt probably like 25 minutes.
Yeah.
The second time we did it for 3.5 minutes, and most of the folks said that it felt much longer, double the amount of that. And what people got was the experience I just described when we go to the coffee shop and we notice that person in front of us having a bad moment or a bad morning, and we do something merely through eye contact or are leaning our body forward. The men got in that experience, they could actually put themselves in the other person's world and really understand what they're up against, what they're contending with, what they're dealing with, good, bad, or indifferent. And that's an experience called emotional connection. That's an experience called intimacy. That's an experience called being gotten and being whole and complete with another human being. That is one of the greatest gifts you can give to someone. The disruption here is that intimacy is one of the greatest contributions you could give to yourself and to another human. What the men got during the men's group exercise last night was not feeling alone. In fact, actually having somebody enter into their space and for a moment just sort of like get them without having to do anything. I mean, one of the things about men, and I want men to disrupt this, is that often when people are in that space called, hey, I want to be heard, I want to be noticed, I want to be acknowledged, we go into the doing.
Right.
We go into the fixing.
Right.
We go into the telling. Just be quiet.
Right.
There's a reason why you have two ears and one mouth.
Yeah.
Right?
Absolutely.
Disrupt that. You know, I was reading somewhere, Sam, that for women, and this relates to the exercise that I did in my men's group, for women, intimacy often really is about talking face to face. And what I read was that it's a behavior that was probably formed and has evolved over millions of years when ancestral females spend their days holding their infants up in front of them, soothing them with their words. Mm-hmm. Or when they were sitting with other mothers, you know, millions of years ago, thousands of years ago, when they were taking care of their kids, right?
Right.
And they're face to face. Whereas men, however, socialize and evolve differently because often men regard intimacy as working or playing side by side. Probably evolved when they were hunting and gathering, right? Hiding behind the rocks or hiding behind the trees side by side. And oh, by the way, what they were facing was an enemy, probably.
Right, right. Or prey.
Or prey. So men often have eye contact or face-to-face, or that could create, just a perspective, face-to-face, something really, really uncomfortable.
Right.
So the disruption, again, for the global tribe of disruptors, in particular the men out there, is to get comfortable with actually being intimate face-to-face rather than side-by-side.
Right.
Now, I read something else that I found interesting, Sam, which is women usually use, on average, on a daily basis, about 25,000 words.
Uh-huh.
And men use about 12,000 words.
Oh, my God.
Per day. Half.
So men are, like, really stupid, huh?
Well, no. It's not that they're stupid. And by the way, for men, usually those 12,000-plus words are usually related in a business setting. It's usually related to things around achievement or competition or gaining something, right? Whereas women's words, the 25,000 words, again, based on the research I was doing, is often more relational, okay? Right. And it's not to say that they're not out there in the world achieving and, you know, doing big things, but they use more words, which would, to some degree, make sense because women are very relatable beings.
Well, it makes
relationships
sense.
Are very important to women.
It makes sense to me. When I come home with my wife, she probably talks twice as much as I do.
Right. And what are you doing? Saying yes, no, yes, no,
I learned the two most important words from a friend long before I got married. He said the two most important words when you get married are yes, dear.
So the disruption, though, is because I like what you said, Sam, which is like when you come home, your wife actually has more to say than you have to say. Understand this, men, that I want you to honor yourselves, right, and be who we are. And at the same time, understand in the world of intimacy that our partner, especially in a heterosexual relationship, our partner actually gains emotional connection and emotional intimacy through words, through sharing. That's partly how they feel acknowledged. And so as men, what I'm encouraging you to do is to find a way to both honor yourself and at the same time acknowledge the other person and eliminate the yes-no responses or the grunts or the nodding of the head and find a way to be with that person. Even if it's to set yourself up to say, hey, when I get home for the first hour, I really just need my space. And I've done that, actually, where I've said, hey, when I get home, I just need some downtime. I need to change. I need to chill out. I need to be by myself. And then I can come back stronger and be with the people in my home a whole lot better. So whatever you need to do to set yourself up to win, do that. And again, understand that it's really, really important. It's really, really important that you are that you get that intimacy is about sharing and sharing words.
And it's not only about sharing words, that intimacy can also be about sharing your presence in a way that doesn't always necessarily have to use words. So maybe just holding hands, putting your arm around the other person, being close to them, leaning on them, showing that there's physical intimacy in terms of a closeness, not in terms of an action.
Yes, exactly. You know, traditionally, Sam, and this is not, you know, this is not rocket science what I'm about to say, but traditionally, our culture has socialized men to believe that real men, I love the term real men.
Real men.
By the way, if you want to see some real men, come as a guest to the Dudes of Disruption men's group. They're real men, meaning they are intimate. They're committed to intimacy. They're committed to sharing and recognizing and appreciating and telling on themselves and being honest and being vulnerable. But most men have, at least for a long time at least, and this is what the invitation is to disrupt this, have been socialized to not have emotional needs other than the need to achieve and to compete or the need to win. Now, this can often leave men in a bad spot, especially heterosexual men, I believe, where the perception is that the female, the woman, is the only one entitled to have emotional needs. I mean, the impact of that is that the male then reduces emotional connection and intimacy to whether or not he's effectively meeting his female partner's needs, rather than actually joining her in his own needs as well, so that both parties can actually be included and get their emotional needs and their emotional intimacy met. Men often are encouraged to translate their emotional needs, as we said at the beginning of this podcast, through sex, which can then ultimately, the bad news for that, it can impact the emotional and sexual elements of the relationship that you're in with your partner. So I want to share with you a couple of perspectives of emotional intimacy, of how men can join their partners, their female partners especially, in the journey of intimacy, which then has them included in having their emotional needs met. Okay? Because I think part of intimacy is actually making requests. I really do. I actually think part of intimacy is saying, I need support, which men often have a hard time doing.
Right. Absolutely.
I think part of emotional intimacy and connection is a man's ability to sort of tell on himself and say, hey, I don't have all this.
Right.
I'm committed to getting all this done, or having, to take care of everything. And at the same time, I could use some support, or I could use some appreciation, or some whatever it may be that you need.
Right. Just stating your needs, what it is that you really need on not just an emotional level, but not just a physical level, but on an emotional level, on a feeling level of what it is that you really need to feel supported.
Right. So to me, the first step in being, as a man, being better at being more emotionally intimate and emotionally connected is what I always talk about in the previous 121 Due to Disruption podcast episodes, which you can find on Podomatic and iTunes, is to notice, right? The reason why I always say this is the Due to Disruption show, disrupting your automatic way of doing, being, and thinking, is so that you can have a different type and a different level of awareness. And so the first thing is to identify which one of your needs is not being met and to share that vulnerably and honestly and in a straight way. By the way, we just did an episode 121, which is called Straight Talk. Like really being straight with yourself and being straight with your partner about what need you're wanting to have met. And by the way, it's not on your partner to only do. It's for the both of you to do together. That's what actually creates intimacy and stronger connection, is doing things together. That's what intimacy is all about. So you need to first identify the need that you desire. And then you have to make a powerful, clean, clear request in the support that you want or the need that you want. This way, what you're actually doing when you make a powerful, first you identify, as I said, and then you make the powerful request, what you're actually doing is getting your power back rather than acting like a victim or a little boy. And by the way, dudes, if you're acting like a little boy, there's more than intimacy you're not going to get met.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Right? People do not, especially adult men, people do not like to be interacting and relating to boys. So it's really important that you identify what need you want met, share that with your partner so together you can work on that, and then make that request of both yourself and your partner. Now, by the way, when you make that request, avoid any negative reference to the past, like, well, maybe this time you'll get it right, or maybe this time we'll get it right.
Ooh, big killers.
Right? It's like, okay, that's a buzzkill.
Yeah.
Right? Instead, what I would say is avoid focusing on the pessimism, right? And instead, focus on what you want in the future, right? So what you focus on expands, right? Operate from a future-based place rather than from a past-based place. So just because you haven't had your emotional needs met in the past don't operate from that place. Operate from a place or stand in a place in the future that you want to actually have happen. Stand in that place. That's empowering. That's inspiring. That will get your partner turned on to go, wow, that's a future I really want to be a part of. Let's go down that yellow brick road together. So the first step is to identify what need you have, which is another version called telling on yourself, being aware, noticing. The second is making that powerful request. By the way, when you make a powerful request, that's vulnerability. That's being vulnerable because someone might say no. Someone right. might not play ball with you. And you still have to make that powerful request because that's the right thing to do to honor yourself and to honor the relationship that you're in. The next step is to deal effectively with this unmet need that you have or needs. The key is to bring attention to an unmet emotional need without blaming or pointing fingers or making anybody wrong from whom you want support around this need. This way it's really important that you avoid making anyone wrong in this process. Another important consideration is to focus upon what you want to have happen rather than what is not happening. Like I said before, what you focus on expands. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. Because remember, we've talked about this in previous episodes. You're going to be right about what you're going to be right about. And as somebody once said in our men's group, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy?
Exactly. Right?
So the next step here in having your unmet need met is to actually not blame and make people wrong, because then they don't feel safe. They don't feel safe going down that yellow brick road with you.
Right. Whenever you blame somebody else, whenever you put it on somebody else, then that just totally takes them out. They don't want to be there. They don't want to be present. You're not going to get any intimacy. You're not going to get any closeness in that kind of a relationship.
Exactly. And by the way, this is an important point that I want to make, which is the more awareness, which I mentioned a few minutes ago, the more awareness that you have in identifying what emotional need that you have, the more that you're aware, the more that you're willing to share, the more that you're willing to tell on yourself and tell on yourself with others in identifying and meeting our own emotional needs, it actually raises the likelihood that we can then notice what's needed with the people around us and to successfully meet their needs. When we are disconnected with our own emotional needs, it impacts the likelihood that we will be able to understand another person's need and know how to meet their need. How can you meet somebody else's need if you don't know your own? So actually, if you want to be, as a dude, if you want to be good at having your needs met, well, then be really, really good about identifying your needs and sharing them, because then you'll actually be on the lookout. You'll actually be operating in the world in a very different way. You'll be much more present. The world will probably occur to you like a pinball machine, because you'll be noticing a lot more. You'll be sensitive to a whole lot more. Now, the last step I want to share in how you can take a successful journey down the yellow brick road with your partner in order to have your emotional needs met. And oh, by the way, if you're having yours met, you're having the other person's needs met as well, is to make sure that you strengthen your awareness around how or what you're projecting on other people. Strengthening our awareness of how projections work in our relationships and how to disrupt them go a long way in supporting you and your partner in emotional intimacy. Often we project on others. We project on others, people from our earlier lives, caregivers, guardians, parents, older siblings, whatever it may be, folks who may have hurt us or may have wronged us, or at least that's the story that we tell ourselves. One of the things you want to be really, really careful about is that you have not projected those people onto your partner, because then they have no chance. Because what you basically are doing then is creating a story, and you're going to be right about that story because you're going to find the evidence. You're going to find that evidence. Now, the question you may be asking is, well, how do I identify and disrupt if I've projected an earlier caregiver or an earlier guardian or an earlier parent onto my partner? Well, I'm going to make an assumption and say, you're always doing that.
It's all projection.
Say more about that, Sam.
It's all projection. Everything that triggers us about another person, everything we put on another person, we can only truly see ourselves. So everything we see in everybody else is merely a reflection of something within us. So it is all, it is literally all projection.
So that's your good news, by the way, Global Tribe of Disruptors.
Yeah.
I mean, really, if you can actually buy into the fact that we're constantly projecting, then that gives you then the capacity to disrupt, to go, am I interacting with this person? Am I being triggered by this person? Am I relating to this person? Because I'm basically projecting an earlier caregiver or guardian onto them. Again, you might just want to make the assumption that you are. And so that way, you want to be in a discovery of that person. So that is, and by the way, when you're in a discovery of someone, it's like having a blank canvas, a blank sheet of paper. It allows you to actually interact with them like you're meeting them for the first time. Like when you interview someone for their first time, you're fascinated by everything in their background. Or when you go on that first date, you're fascinated about how they eat salad.
Really?
I don't know why I chose salad, but you get my point, right? Like, you're fascinated by everything because it's like you're in an inquiry, you're in a discovery. So what I'm offering is, if you want to have your emotional needs met, number one, telling yourself, identify what it is. Number two, make sure that you're making a powerful request of your partner that together you want to create something different. Number three, do not blame anybody. Do not live in the past. Operate from a future-based place. Number five, if you want to be really good at having your needs met, then become more aware than ever. Disrupt your automatics. Because again, that also gives you access to be different with other people. And oh, by the way, in the world of contribution, when you're actually noticing other people and what they need emotionally, then guess what? They're going to reciprocate. It's going to come back to you. And the last step is, make sure you're not projecting old, disempowering relationships from your past onto your partner right now. Start with a clean sheet with them. The question for the Global Tribe is, what is your level of comfort around intimacy? How do you get in your own way in creating intimacy with other people? Now, before we go to parting shots, Sam, I want to encourage the Global Tribe of Disruptors to check out the Dudes of Disruption on social media. So we're on Facebook, Dudes of Disruption. We're on Twitter, DOD Talk Radio. We're on Instagram, Dudes of Disruption. You can email me, CoachNick@CoachNick.com, if you're interested in coaching, individual or executive coaching. If you want to know more about our men's group, email me at CoachNick@CoachNick.com. If you want to Twitter me personally, CoachNickNYC, because I live in NYC, and you can catch the Dudes of Disruption on the podcast, that is, on Podomatic and on iTunes. Sam, I'm going to put you on the hot seat first. What is your parting shot? And we've been talking about men and intimacy.
So my parting shot is simple. Have intimacy first, and the rest will follow.
Okay, I love it. Drop the mic, almost, literally. My parting shot, Sam, is, we can only understand and are able to meet the emotional needs of another person, or group of people for that matter, when we have that kind of relationship with our own needs. And I know I've been harping on that in the latter part of this podcast. Emotional intimacy calls us to really, really go deep within ourselves, to really notice what turns us on or what turns us off, what inspires us. To really be honest with ourselves, to be straight. Self-reflection must become a way of life. It must become a habit, as well as holding compassion for what we find in ourselves. In order to interrupt some of those projections that I was saying earlier, we need to continue to explore how we've operated all of our lives. So again, if you want to be good at being an emotionally connected person, being someone who's able to give and receive emotional intimacy, then be really good about what needs you're wanting. Intimacy is more than sex. It's more than physical. It's about acknowledging people. It's about noticing people. It's about listening to people. It's about understanding people. It's having people around you feeling heard, people around you feeling safe. It's about doing little things for them, like leaving them a note in the morning. That's intimacy. You've been listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. This is the Dudes of Disruption podcast, which you can find on iTunes and on Podomatic. You can email me at CoachNick@CoachNick.com. And we've ended every episode, as we will this one, with a Hall of Fame disruptive quote from Dr. Seuss. Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened.